All right, guys, what I have here for you is just some single-page handouts. This is a business model plan that's in a little greater detail with some questions, but these were intentionally built to fit on one page just for make it a little easier for people who aren't quite as knowledgeable of things to be able to manage the data a little better. And this is one that I actually use in northern Ghana, where there's a lot more literacy issues and things like that. It's even more simplified, just so that you can again see the variance. And the main reason I just show these to you, see why, is just so that you can recognize from my experience what you use in your inner city process. Maybe you may want to do a little different in a rural village somewhere. That might be beneficial for you. And obviously, all of these single pages basically drill down on what we talked about in the earlier handout. So I thought that if you would like, while we've got a few more minutes together to work on through, is to literally, let's take, as we look at this dream goal action plan concept, let's just take something that you've got on your mind. Obviously, you know, and we talked a little bit about what Dusty was talking. You've certainly got some opportunities to be able to create a witness process through sharing concepts and things to the unchurched. You have opportunities just through your normal ministry. But is there some idea or something that we might can sit here with you to brainstorm, and we'll just mark it up here and be able to say, okay, This is a path that I'd like to go, or this is a business model that I think might be appropriate. Is there anything possibly even on your mind we could just use as a real-world topic that would be important to you to just to try to talk about a little bit?
All right. Like, when we started this seminar, something or a project started coming into my mind.
Okay.
More than what we already have there. And like yesterday, I whispered to Dr. Dusty, even though it is going to be a broad project, but I think one can start from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I've always maintained and believed that rural evangelism or evangelization is my area of calling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe much in the city where everything is already made, where we now live the less privileged ones. Because if we almost follow this teaching is purely made for the less privileged ones.
Mm-hmm.
That is alleviating the poverty situation.
Correct.
And I have a kind of poverty alleviation village. That's what I call it.
Okay.
And then in that poverty alleviation village, I now have these skill acquisitions where people will now be taught on different types of works.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with a particular village.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just kind of isolate that what we're working with here. Okay. So we're talking about the poverty alleviation, which we've had a couple of days of conversation. All right.
Good. And then in this poverty alleviation, I now look at it as a kind of empowerment to people in that particular village, empowerment program.
Okay.
Yeah, and then in that empowerment program, the vision or the aim will now be to make themselves sufficient so that they will not be able to stand on their own.
Okay.
And that is the issue of those acquisition.
Skill acquisition.
Skill acquisition.
Carpentry.
Carpentry.
Bricklaying.
Bricklaying, electricians.
What do you call it?
Mechanics and all those sorts.
Yeah.
So that is why I now say village, because it will embrace a lot. But we must start from somewhere.
Ceramic tiles and so forth, you know, all kinds of skills.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're looking for different teachers.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what are some other
Mechanics.
There might be electrical too.
Electricians or electrical.
Okay.
How's that going to come in as air conditioning and air conditioning repairs and all that kind of stuff?
I probably have plumbers, computer operators.
Yes, IT. Good repairs. And wow, that's massive.
talking about a whole school.
Yeah.
Just like we have over here.
And what's interesting about this, whenever we supported our first teams to go through the initial Chalmers training conferences, that's why I was telling you that there were some of those guys that were electricians. They were had they were bricklayers. They were very same. Well, out of that, some of them were, in fact, able by grasping these concepts and could know how to borrow money and how then to manage that money, then they were actually able to build these individual companies and themselves. So the key boils down to, as you develop this, to create the poverty relief and the empowerment, really and truly, I can't stress enough the entire financial training model. You know, that you've got to be able to incorporate. Because again, it's like we talked, if you see, use the same concepts we talked about for the business. First, build it around their personal responsibility. That creates personal discipline. It's like for me having my own company. A lot of times I make an arrangement, someone's purchased my services, I have to schedule a flight, get on a plane, I rent a car, I have to have a hotel, I have to know where I'm going to be, and I have to know what do I do to prepare to meet their need. There's a discipline associated with that. But you know what? It's like next week, I'm going to be in my office, which is at my home. It's a nice place to work. And I'm going to be there for 3 days. Well, it would be real easy for me to say, you know what, I'm going to sleep in today. But you know what? Whether I'm on the road or whether I'm at home, I get up the same time every day. I go down to my desk. I work. I prepare for future. There's a certain amount of association with research and development in my business where I have to be on constantly training my own self to be in front of my industry's needs. So part of the thing in all of this is not only the financial training, but it's truly the disciplines of life that we have to keep ourselves moving because a lot of people, we'd be lazy real quick, but we got to keep going. Okay?
I've got a vision here.
Okay.
Of a condensed seminar training in personal finance, and that is the doorway. And when you said that you need to do that before you did any other training,
right,
with people, So when I did work with kids in the inner city, one of the things that the kids would say to one another when they'd be acting up and wouldn't behave, they'd say, you need some home training. But things that you just know, just like there's some personal finance things that are just integral, like keeping your money separate, you know, this is your business here and this is your personal here, and keeping that, I mean, that you learn that in our culture, right, you know, hopefully in a lot of places you learn that at the very beginning, you know, right, that's covered. But I'm seeing that as the entryway to everything else that you do.
It's you're dead on it, Dusty. You've captured this completely in your mind on this. That's the gateway, is working through the personal relationship first and personal finance control. That's where we determine who is the best candidates for the microfinance loans, for example, that we help with. Because if they can manage that arena, and you know what? It's not even the amount of money or income they have. It's also in their just personal daily living. How well do they maintain their hut? How well do they maintain, and instead of letting their goats or sheep just roam everywhere, they pull them in at night and have them in a secured area. So there are other little tools you use besides the way we in America would measure somebody. You have to think in terms of their environment. So you're dead right, Dusty.
And another thing, see why I thought about this, was that would be then, when you're pairing this up with this business training, personal
this personal finance thing in the church, that will be the perfect entree then to begin, like Gary talked about yesterday or the day before, about tithing. You know, that then, hey, this is the biblical mandate. This is not a choice. This is a command.
Exactly. And it's something we as Americans, so many times with the best of intentions, for those of us that can tithe or give and provide offerings and things that we want to support, it's just part of our thinking. But for someone, like we said, that has nothing other than the dirt they stand on, it's hard to have that same feeling that I'm sharing something the Lord has provided for me. I'm giving a part of that back as we're commanded to do. But if we go in and we do it all for them, they never feel that joy. Well, this is a way of creating that true joy of giving something back. So it's an integral part of it at an appropriate time. Obviously, you don't come out of the gate and put that kind of pressure on them to start with. But you do help them understand and say, now that you've done this for yourself, what will you do to share with your neighbor? What will you do to share with the church? And it's an invaluable experience to learn from. Well, gentlemen, that's pretty much got most of the things that I normally cover. Like I said, you don't know how much I appreciate you willing to make the trip, come over, and bring an injection of information from both of you, from both of your West African experiences of life, because it's added, I think, another dimension to the conversation. And I sincerely mean this. Because of what you have injected in this meeting, I've learned, I assure you, as much from you as you have from me. Because I will be able to take some of the things that I have heard you talk about and share them as I continue across the country with my message. So I can't thank you enough for the opportunity.